Hi, this is Martin Jenkins. We appreciate so much you taking the time to listen to this message entitled, Because He First Loved Me. Everything we have as children of God is because He first loved us. There's nothing we could ever do to earn what Jesus accomplished for us. We can never tell Him enough times how much we love and appreciate what He's done for us. What we need is for the revelation of His great love for us to unfold in our spirit the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of His love, because when that happens, receiving from Him is absolutely no problem. I encourage you to listen and re-listen to this message because there is a revelation here that every one of us needs. I hope this message will bless you.
Father, we are so grateful. We're so thankful for the life that has been given to us, made available to us in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great love for us. Father, as we study and learn about your love, that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When we learn about this love, Father, I believe that it is going to change us forever. Holy Ghost, you're the teacher, and I pray that you will unveil to us the truth of the Word of God about love so that we can benefit, walk in it, and experience all that's been made available to us. Because of the great act of love that Jesus exhibited when He died on that cross for us. Hallelujah. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I believe that your word is going to produce a mighty harvest in everyone that hears this message in Jesus' name. Amen. On our last message, we began talking about the love of God, the love that God has for us. And we're going to continue in this vein. I can see that this is something that the Holy Ghost is really wanting to expound on, to cover all the different angles so that we can see the love of God as it truly is and benefit from it and understand that it's because of His great love for us that we have everything that we have. And I'm so excited about this. And over the last week or so, here around the house, the presence of God has just been coming on me at different times, and it's been when I have thanked Jesus for loving me. And I just simply say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. And as I say that and I repeat that, it's amazing. The presence of God seems to just well up from the inside of me and just overwhelms me. And I think to myself, why is this happening? And I'm realizing there's a revelation here that God is wanting us to grab hold of. He's wanting me to grab hold of, and I know as a teacher, if He's wanting me to grab hold of it, He's wanting all of us to grab hold of this. And this revelation has to do with seeing, appreciating, knowing God's love for us. And I know that has to sound so trite to God loves you. Who hasn't heard that? And yet, hearing it and comprehending it with our mind is one thing. Having a heart felt revelation of God's love for us individually, that's a whole different story. A lot of people, they'll say, oh, I know God loves me. And it's head knowledge. It's not heart revelation. It's when it's heart revelation that changes you. Changes you forever. And I say that just sensing in my heart that I'm just stepping into this revelation. Just the little bit that I'm seeing. Here's what the thoughts that come to me. God loves me this much. Healing the health of my body. There's no problem receiving. When you begin to grasp His love for you, receiving all that's been made available through the cross, it's not a problem. Now, am I saying that I have, that I'm walking in the fullness of what I just said? I'm not yet, but I intend to. I intend to walk in this, the fullness of what it means to understand and comprehend in my heart. God loves me. Now, before we get too far in this, I want to share this little bit with you. I know from hearing about other ministries that have ventured down this path of looking and understanding this love of God that there have been times that people have gotten off. And where does this take them? Well, sometimes it takes them to the message of all-inclusive. Well, how could a God that loves the way God loves, how could He not let someone into heaven? Well, as much love as God is, He's just as well. And this is not a preacher that's going to preach all-inclusive by any means. It's the blood of Jesus that's paid the price for you, that if you have not been washed in His blood and born again into the family of God, you're not going to heaven. Simple as that. So just wanted to put that out there right up front, because this message of God loving us and this revelation, I'm telling you what, the devil camps right here. This is where he camps. Is right at the door of this revelation, because he knows what this can produce in a person's life. When they begin to look at their relationship of God and turn the tables from it being about what they do for God to what God has done for us because of His motivation of love, that turns the tables completely. See, religion is all about me trying to do something for God. That is works mentality. And it is so prevalent in the body of Christ. And here, let me just give you an illustration of what that looks like. Somebody comes up and hands you this beautiful gift, and the first thing that you want to do, instead of appreciating the gift and instead of appreciating the love that this person has that has motivated him or her to do what they've done for you, instead of that, immediately you're thinking, okay, now what do I got to do to earn this? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? And it's because we feel like we've got to earn this. There's nothing that you can do to earn the love of God. Nothing. There's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. This has all been accomplished for us before any individual was born again. Nobody was born again. And He went to the cross for the whole lot of us. And we were We were all in sin. And us here today, we weren't even born. And yet he loved us individually. You know, we look at John 3:16. Thank God for John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, God so loved the world. And we say that and we think the world, we look at, we kind of envision the whole planet. He loved me. He loved you individually. God so loved people, us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all of us have heard that since we were children. We've heard songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yet it's mental understanding. Jesus, he does love you. And when that love for you and me passes from your mind down to your heart, and you begin to grasp what it truly means that the God who created everything that we see loves you, loves me, with a love that knows no boundaries, to the extent that he himself would come to this earth, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and hang on a cross when we were all sinners. There was no one born again. And it was his love motivating him. His love for us. His love for us. So when we approach him, when I approach him right now, see, I'm a person that has spent time worshiping the Lord. Worshiping, just thanking him, praising him, exalting him. And there was a season that I did that for extended periods of time. And God blessed me and he showered his love upon me. And now today, what he's wanting from me is the appreciation for his love for me. Not that I would sit and there, don't misunderstand. Yes, we should tell God we love him. Oh, yes. But it's going to come as you follow this revelation of his love for us first. It's going to come from that place of not trying to earn something from him, but from that place of sheer, total gratitude that he loved us first. Because if he hadn't loved us first, none of this would be possible. Nothing. Nothing would be possible had he not loved us first. He loved us first. And my appreciation now, what I'm spending time thanking him for, is for his great love for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. Oh, I hope you get this. I really hope that you do, because it will completely revolutionize your walk with the Lord. When we can see that it's not about how much I love him. And don't misunderstand. loving him is important, and we should. And it is. It happens. It just comes out of us. But what's truly important is he first loved us. He first loved us. And what does that say, Mark? It says, I can't earn it. I can't do anything to deserve this. It was done long ago and far away. And all I can do now is appreciate it. Appreciate what he's done for me. Appreciate the price he paid. Appreciate the fact that he did it because of love. His love for me. When there was no guarantee whatsoever that I would ever accept him or the act of love that he demonstrated on my behalf. He did it anyway. Because of his great love for me and for you. Hallelujah. Now we're going to look at some verses here tonight. I want you to understand something. We're going to look at these verses. And you should meditate these verses. I would suggest you meditate, pray in tongues, look at them. But understand something. It's not going to come through your mind, this revelation. You're going to have to plant the seeds of God's word in your heart. So the Holy Ghost has something to work with in order to bring this forth. And it's not going to be in your mind. Because you already know in your mind that God loves you. Yeah, oh, I know. Oh, sure, I know he loves me. What we want is for that to pass from just a head knowledge to a heartfelt revelation, to where it will just take you to your knees. And I can't explain that part of this. I can't explain why it is that appreciating his love is so important. All I know is that it is. And that it takes my walk out of works mentality and into a place where it's only by grace. It's only by grace. And I feel compelled to also share this with you. This message about love. Like I said, the devil camps right here. He camps right here with wrong doctrine, trying to sidetrack people. And one of the things that has been born out of this revelation that has gone in the wrong direction has been about, well, you know, you can just live how you want to live. What? That's ridiculous. It is just flat ridiculous. Like, you know, and I told Debbie this illustration the other day. It's almost like saying that, you know, because I begin to understand how much my wife loves me, that gives me now I'm going to struggle with going out and committing adultery. No, that's not the case. And that's not what's in my heart. Now, in some people's heart, it might be. And if somebody has the seeds of that still in their soul, in their outer man, and they could take this the wrong way. Don't do that. This is not a license to go out and do whatever you want to do. It's not a license to sin because God loves me so much that he will never hold this against me. Oh, you know, I have a feeling, and this is just my belief. I have a feeling that this is what tripped Lucifer up. You see, Lucifer, before he fell, he was the covering of God. I mean, you don't get much closer to that and not be God. And that's where he was at. here's what I, this is what I'm, I kind of suppose happened to Lucifer. He saw God being love, and the, and in all of him being love, I suppose that Lucifer thought he's so much love, there won't be judgment on the other side of this. And he was wrong. As much love as God is, there's also justness in God. So don't ever be deceived by that. Because I think some people in the world we're living in today, in churches today, are being deceived by that. Yes, God loves you. But don't ever forget God is just. He's just. So having said that as the introduction tonight, let's look at these verses. Let's see. This is what has been standing out to me. It's all the number of times in these verses that it's not talking about how much I love God. What it is talking about is how much he loves me. And it's a reoccurring theme throughout these books that we're going to look at. First one's going to be Ephesians. This is the one that we looked at in our last session. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm just going to start reading in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And what I shared when I talked about this in our last session, the nature that we had was the nature of our father, the devil, before we were born again. That's what this is referring to. This is talking about the people before being born again, following the course of this world. They were spiritually dead, just as we're spiritually dead before we come to Jesus. And we have the nature of our father, the devil, before we're born again. And so that's what this is talking about here. Now, beginning in verse 4, notice these first two words. I just love these. These first two words, they should just jump out at you. Here we've talked about being spiritually dead, and then verse 4 says, but God, there you have it, but God. If it wasn't for God, where would we be? If it wasn't for his love for us, where would we be? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. I just love that. His great love. Look how Paul emphasized his great love, wherewith he loved us. Paul's wanting the church at Ephesus, as well as us, Holy Ghost through Paul, wants us to see it was because of God's great love for us. Can't earn any of this. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. Are you kidding me? Mankind was spiritually dead. Had it not been for his great love for us, we'd be lost for eternity. His great love. Thank you. Oh, I just want to raise my hands. Jesus, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your great love. I was sharing this the other night with a friend of mine. He sent me a text the next morning. He said, That message changed my life forever. I'm telling you, this is life-changing stuff right here. This is. We have to get a hold of this. I have to get a hold of this. This, the revelation of the love of God towards me changes me. It will change anybody. It will see people coming out of wheelchairs. It'll see blind eyes open. The world thinks that God's mad at them. The world thinks that God, our Father, is just this bearded, gray-haired, I hate to even use the words, ogre in heaven that is ready to crack the whip on them for any mistake they made. That is not our Father. Our Father is love. God is love. He's love. And everything that he's done for us comes from that motivation of love, his love for us. Not because we deserved it, not because we have told him enough times that we love him. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell God you love him, because I do. But that's not convincing him to do anything for us. Everything that's been accomplished for us has already been accomplished. It's a matter of us receiving it. What is going to help us receive? Understanding, having a revelation of his love for us. That's what's going to help us to receive. Seeing, understanding, comprehending his great love for each of us individually. That is what's going to enable us to receive all that he has made available to us. That's it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Look at the verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. Even when we were dead in sins, God loved us. When we were dead in sins, how much farther out there could we have gotten? So it wasn't anything that we did to deserve this. I just can't see. And I know some of you are probably like shaking your head, Mark, you should already know this. I've known this for years in my head. But now it's dropping into my heart. See, you can know it in your head, have head knowledge of this, and still not walk in the revelation of it. And it's not going to do you any good until you have a heart revelation of his love for you. Now, that will change you. Hallelujah. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at those words. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, positionally speaking. Yes, I'm still here on this earth, but positionally speaking, I am seated with him in heavenly places. Look, hang on, right? You can keep your finger here. We'll probably be back to this, but turn over to 1 John. This is the other book that's just, I'm telling you what, 1 John is just chocked full of verses talking about his love for me. And I want you to see how intertwined Ephesians is with 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 4. I'm just going to jump in this one verse, and we'll kind of lead up to it here in a few minutes. But verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now flip back there. Flip back to Ephesians. See what it says in Ephesians? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're in Christ Jesus. We're seated in the heavenly places. And again in 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. Do you see the connection there? I'm seated in heavenly places. As he is, so am I in this world. I'm seated in him. As he is, so am I here. How is he in heaven? Is he the victorious king? Is he victorious? How am I in this world? I'm victorious. Glory be to God. Is he the overcomer? How am I in this world? I'm the overcomer. I'm seated in him in heavenly places, positionally. In this world, as he is, so am I in this world. When this starts settling in on us, what does the enemy have against us, to use against us? God loves us individually. He loves me. He loves me. He's done all of this for me when I couldn't earn it. When I didn't deserve it, he did it for me. And now all I have to do is believe it. That's all I have to do is believe. Just believe. Mark, it can't be that easy. I'm telling you it is. It is that easy. He has done it all, and all he asks of us is believe. Believe that he truly loves us that much. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. All right, since we're here in 1 John, I'm going to lead up to the verses that we just read, but let's go back here a little bit. Chapter 3, 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Notice this. See, John had this revelation. I am so convinced he had this revelation. That's the only way he could have wrote these things. And what he was writing about, he didn't say, it's all because of my love for him. It's not what he said. He's talking about the love of God towards us. See, I keep coming back to this, and I feel it's important to reiterate this point. We've been looking at this from the wrong direction. We've been looking at it thinking it's about me loving him, telling him I love him, that's what I need to do, is tell him that I love him and worship him in order to receive from him. And see, again, don't misunderstand me. Please, don't stop worshiping the Lord. He deserves it. But not out of the motivation that I'm doing this to get something from him. No. You're trying to earn this. You're trying to earn your blessings from God. How about if you just turn that table around and come at it from this direction? Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you for loving me so much that you wouldn't leave me here to be fodder for the enemy. Thank you for redeeming me, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Because that's what it truly is about. His love for us made all of this possible. So if we're going to thank him for anything, thank him for loving us. Thank you for loving me. And I can just tell you, just from the little, I mean, I'm just talking about scratching the surface of this. I have seen in the last week more, how do I want to say this, response from God by thanking Him for loving me than I have in months of worshiping Him. And I don't want you not to worship the Lord. But if you're doing it because you're trying to convince Him to heal you, you missed it. He's already paid the price for your healing. As you thank Him for the love that would send Jesus to the cross to pay that price, as you thank Him and you show your gratitude because of that, I believe that there's a confidence there that's going to build. If He loves me this much, then He loves me. He loves me. And I don't have to worry about dying from sickness and disease. You see how that is? If He loves me that much to go and die on that cross, doesn't He love me enough to have paid the price for this sickness? Yes, He did. As a matter of fact, He did. And if he loved you enough to do that, why would He withhold anything from you? No, He's not withholding any good gift from you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting blessed. I don't know if anybody else is, but I am. Verse 2. Beloved. Oh, let me just read verse 1 again. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Boy, I tell you what. You know, Jesus didn't just redeem us and leave us to our own devices. Oh. You know, the whole plan of God came together, and man's redemption and new birth into the family of God as His sons completed the whole work that God had planned for us. We're sons of God. And don't misunderstand, not the Son of God, Jesus, but we are sons of God. We're in His family. He loves us that much. Oh my goodness. That's exciting. That's so exciting. That He would welcome us into His family. He would provide us with the new birth, giving us His nature. His nature. We don't have, when we're born again, we no longer have the nature of the devil, which we had when we were born into this world spiritually dead. Now we have the nature of our Father God. We have a new nature. That nature in our reborn human spirit only wants to go in the right direction. He only wants to do good. He wants to love everyone. That's right. That's the nature that we've received. And that's what God provided us with. As a member of His family, He gave us His nature. He gave us sonship in His family. We're not just sub-heirs. Romans 8 says that we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, not sub-heirs, joint heirs. And we've looked at these verses. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As He is, so are we in this earth, in this world. He wants us, He doesn't just want, He expects each and every one of us to walk through this life as conquerors, because he's a conqueror. And that, and he is our representative, and that's what he bought and paid for with his blood, and that's what he expects of us. I'm telling you what, this idea that we have to walk through this life and put up with the trash from Satan trying to afflict our bodies, trying to make us sick, trying to get us to accept sickness and disease, and thinking, oh my gosh, thinking that it's God doing it, that is the height of religious ignorance right there. To think that our Father, after loving us so much that he would send Jesus to the cross to die for us, would now put sickness and disease on us. Why? To teach us something? Oh my. I just don't have words to tell you how ignorant that is. And yet, there are people in churches all over this country and all around the world that believe just that lie from Satan. Is it what it is? Huh. Let's go on here. Let's talk about the love of God. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 4. I'm in 1 John. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You are of God. You are of him. That's indicating him being your father. You're of him. You're born of God. Hallelujah. The greater one is inside of you. The greater one. I mean, we could just make that confession. Thank you, Father. The greater one lives in me. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. The greater one lives in me. Glory to God. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I like these next two verses. They're in the Charismatic Renewal in the 70s. They sang this as a song. It was a cute little song. And every time I read it, all I hear is that song. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. He is love. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. See, what are we talking about here? What is he pointing out? Is he pointing out the necessity for us to love God? Or is he pointing out the necessity for us to understand his love towards us? That's what we have to see, is his love towards us. His love. His love. What his love motivated Jesus to do, what his love motivated himself to do, to send Jesus, the Son of God, into this world to die in our place. Hallelujah. Herein is love, not that we loved God. See, right here. Not that we love God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. It's not about us loving him. Us loving him did not send Jesus to the cross. And that right there was good. That was good. Us loving him didn't send Jesus to the cross. What sent Jesus to the cross was his love for us. And it's like, it's so hard for us to grab hold of that, because we weren't even around then. And we think, well, how could he love us that way? He does. He's love. He's, and we, like I said, you can't grasp this with your mind. It's a revelation in your heart. And you can get this revelation just by reading these verses. And ask the Holy Ghost, oh, unlock this. Help me to see this. Verse 10 again. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, He paid the price for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jump down, if you will, to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. You know, for me, that's just a faith confession, honestly. I want to know this in my heart. I want to have this revelation unfolding inside of me. And I believe it's possible. I mean, that's what is being said here. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, this is the verse we read earlier. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now look at verse 18. This is a very common verse. People like to quote this. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, I've looked at that for the longest time, and looked at that thinking that we're talking about my love. My love. What have we been talking about all the way up to this point? His love for me. See, if it wasn't for his love to begin with, I wouldn't have love anyway. Because we're not talking about humanistic love. We're talking about the God kind of love that comes out of your reborn human spirit. So if it wasn't for his love to begin with, I wouldn't have love to speak of. So when we're talking in this verse here, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Why would it do that? Why? Because I have a revelation, not just of my love that I have because I'm born again and have love, but the love that he has for me and what that has produced, what that has delivered me out of. I don't have fear of the enemy because of love. Because what love did for me, God is love. What did love do for me? Love delivered me from the hands of the enemy. Love set me free. Love seated me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As he is, so am I in this world. Love did this. Hallelujah. And because of this love, there's love that has been shed abroad in my heart. And I have no fear. Yes, there's areas that I'm challenged in. But my confession is this. I am free from fear. Why? Because of what love has done for me. Love has delivered me. There's no fear in love. And guess what? I am in love because I am in him and he is love. You get that? There's no fear here. As he is, so am I in this world. Is he up there, you know, wondering if the enemy's going to get the better of him? Are you kidding me? I mean, you go to Colossians and it says he made a show of him openly triumphing, hallelujah, over them in it. He's not in heaven sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, Did I do enough? Did I do enough? Is the enemy gonna overtake me? No. It's over. The enemy's goose has been cooked. It's over with. Hallelujah. But we have to believe that. And so far, too many of us are sitting here listening to the defeated one trying to convince us that he ain't defeated, but he is defeated. Glory to God. All right, let's get to the last little bit here. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. I know there's a lot of people listening to this that you may have fears in your life. You may be a born-again child of God and you still have fears. You're afraid of not having enough money. You're afraid of the health of your body failing. You're afraid of what might happen to your kids. You're afraid of the economy. Perfect love casts out fear. If you will allow the Holy Ghost to develop this revelation in you of God's great love for you, his great love for you, his great love that redeemed you, that delivered you from the hand of the enemy. You are delivered from the hands of the enemy. I'm delivered from the hands of the enemy. God didn't leave anything undone. He only expects us now to believe that we receive the victory. Believe that you receive it. Believe what the Word of God says about you. By his stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. He took your place in poverty so that you could be rich. He has totally, completely delivered us, each one of us, out of the hands of the enemy. As a born-again child of God, you're delivered. It's simply a matter of believing that you receive what he's accomplished for us. All right, let's go back here. We love him because, I'm reading verse 19 of 1 John 4:19. We love him. Look at this. Look at these words. This is the point that I've been making all night. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. Had it not been for his love, we wouldn't love him. Because we wouldn't have the capacity to love him. Because that love is agape, and that love comes out of your reborn human spirit. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Go over to Galatians if you want to see the fruit of the Spirit. Love. First one on the list. Love. If that reborn human spirit weren't there, you would not have the capacity to love. We love him because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. See, it's not about us. And it's not about us earning anything. It's about completely resting in the completed work of the cross that was done with the purest of the purest motivations, that he loved us. And I know that there are people that will hear this and they'll think, but I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. None of us deserved it. None of us deserved it. And there's nothing we can do now to earn it. All we can do now is believe. Believe that we receive by faith what He has accomplished for us. And I go back to the verse that I started with tonight. John 3:16. I mean, we have looked at that verse since many of us were in Sunday school class, just little bitty tykes. And now look at how the enemy has, you know, just like the enemy. Let's just put it on everything so that it loses its meaning. That people will just, they'll just see John 3:16. They'll just look at it and it loses its effect. For God so loved us that He gave. He so loved us that He gave. That's what has to get opened up in our hearts. That He so loved us that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we can only believe. If we can only believe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I encourage you. I encourage you to take these verses. To read these verses. To look at how John and Paul emphasized God's love towards us. How they emphasize that point. And here in the last few minutes, Paul went on in Ephesians, in that same letter where we had read in chapter 2, he went on in chapter 3, and we shared this in the last session, in chapter 3 of Ephesians. Paul went on and prayed this prayer because, hey, he knew. Paul knew by the Holy Ghost that we were going to struggle with this. That there was going to be a struggle. That there were going to be people that would try to earn this. That would think it's too good to be true. It is too good to be true. So in Ephesians 3, here's this prayer that he wrote. That by the Holy Ghost that he prayed for the church at Ephesus. Beginning in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth is heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, Paul knew this was going to be the struggle. This was going to be the place where people got tripped up, that people would try to go trying to earn what God did for them, to do things through their own efforts. And Paul's trying to say, no, it's that what you have to have is the revelation of His great love, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. That's what you need to be striving for. God, give me this revelation of your love for me. Because when I have that, receiving from you is just no problem. It's just the fact that we don't know that God loves us. We don't have that in our hearts. Because if we did, and when we do, our lives are going to look so much different. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I did my best to deliver this, and I pray that people's hearts are open to receive this, and that they will begin to to see and understand and comprehend your love for them. That's the key. That's the key. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet at www.markjenkinsministries.org. Just look for the contact page. Thank you so much for listening to this message, and be blessed.